What a morning of worship, right? We're here to celebrate and worship Jesus Christ, the singing, the praise time. I trust that the Lord is pleased right now and that you've been, your hearts have been prepared to worship Him. This morning we're going to celebrate the wondrous truth that God of all the universe in His unfathomable love came into this world to give His life for a poor lost sinner like me, for a poor lost sinner like you, to give His life for us on the cross, that we would be with Him throughout all eternity, that Jesus would reconcile us to God the Father. Praise God. This is called the communion service this morning. The communion service that our Lord gave to us on the evening before He went to Calvary. At this Last Supper, He's just a night away from going to His death on a cross. We are told to remember and proclaim what He has done for us until the day He comes again. Until the day He comes for us again. Who is looking forward to the day Jesus comes for you? For me, amen? Praise God. If any part of us has forgotten, then something very important is missing in the blessed life. Look at all the songs we sang today. Remembering the Lord. Giving praise to the Lord. If any of us have forgotten, Jesus commanded communion and He said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Indicating with this command that the chance that you may forget is possible. Lord, I thank You for this morning, the beautiful morning You created. Your loving kindness is new each and every day. That we are here today together, gathered to obey You, to serve You, to please You, worship You, give You honor and glory. Lord, I pray there will not be any part of us that would forget You or forget what You've done for us. This morning, Lord, may we be pleasing to You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26 this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" So in this passage, the Apostle Paul is quoting the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that He uttered to His disciples that night in the upper room on the eve of His death. On that night when Jesus gave the bread and the cup as symbols of what He was about to do, His sacrifice for us, His sacrificial death on the cross. And He did this uniquely in the context of a meal He had with them that night. This was not the Passover meal. It was a special meal Jesus had planned and prepared for them. Paul calls it in verse 20, the Lord's Supper, which the early church celebrated it calling it, remember, the Love Feast in Jude 12. So on that night as they sat to have that meal, Jesus in which He would give to them the bread and the cup, He then did something. He got up from the table and washed the disciples' feet. He combined the bread and the cup, the feet washing, and the supper on that night to symbolize for us in one service the totality of salvation. The whole totality of your salvation. Praise God. So briefly, we're going to go over each aspect of the communion service as we will be addressing them again later on today as we celebrate communion. So I'm just going to briefly go over them this morning as we move on into the message. All three aspects of the communion service represent salvation. The bread and the cup. The bread and the cup are symbols of our Lord's body that was given for us at His shed blood for us on the cross of Calvary. There's the symbol. All of our sins paid for. There on that cross over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Himself, the very Son of God, laid down His life to pay the penalty for the sins of mankind. All our sins, past, present, and future. Praise God. The bread and the cup symbolize the doctrine of justification, whereby we are delivered from the penalty of sin because Jesus paid it. Praise God, we're justified in our faith. The moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're free from the penalty of sin. This symbols the Lord's past ministry on our behalf when we go to the communion service. The feet washing. According to our Lord's own explanation in John 13, 8 through 11, He deliberately washed the disciples' feet to symbolize His ministry through the Spirit and the Word. What is that ministry? The ministry of cleansing us from sin as believers, the fellowship with Him, daily fellowship with Him, that we might be maintained or maintain this walk of fellowship with Jesus Christ. This is the process of sanctification. This is the doctrine of sanctification, where we are progressively and onwardly being delivered from the power of sin in our life. Praise God for that. Then we have the Lord's Supper. In all four accounts of the supper, the memorial refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to that day? In Luke 22:18, as in Matthew and Mark, the eating of the supper is connected with this statement. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. Here in our scripture today, right here in 1 Corinthians 11:26, there is also this same focus on our Lord's coming again, when the supper and the bread and the cup are together. Believers are pointed towards the future hope. What is that future hope? Of that supper engagement with the Lord, the wedding supper of the Lamb. Who's looking forward to being there? Right on? I am. I'm excited about that day. I am so excited about that. This future emphasis and our coming reunion with the Lord are pictured in the Lord's parable in Matthew 22, 1 through 14, and Luke 14, 16 through 24. You can go read that. And in the prophecy of Revelation 19, 7 through 9, in the setting of the great, it's called Supper of the Lamb to come. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be there. Praise God. What is this doctrine? It is the doctrine of glorification, when we shall finally be delivered once and for all from the very presence of sin. How many of you are looking forward to that? This symbolizes the future ministry the Lord will do on our behalf. What a day that is going to be. Day after day after day after that, in eternity, in glory, with the Almighty, with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Delivered from the penalty, delivered from the power, delivered from the presence of sin. That is what's going to happen in our life. And the wonderful totality and the perfection of our salvation we have in Jesus from beginning to end was symbolized by Jesus Christ on that night in the upper room. Our justification was symbolized. Our sanctification was symbolized. Our glorification was symbolized. Therefore, our salvation is symbolized there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is no minor thing. This has great meaning and significance. Well, in this past year, we have dealt at length with the explanation of what Jesus was teaching on that night and past messages of communion. I encourage you can find full-length, detailed messages on each aspect of the communion service there online. But this morning, we're going to do something a little different as we look at something. I want to address something we have not dealt with much, namely, our Lord's words to do this in remembrance of me. And Paul's words at the communion, we are to what? Proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. At the communion service, we are remembering and proclaiming to one another. What does Jesus mean? Have you ever just sat to contemplate what he means by do this in remembrance of me? I mean, no true believer has really forgotten who Jesus is, have they? I mean, do you just wake up one day and go, Jesus, Jesus, who is Jesus? I mean, I see Orlando sitting there. I'm not looking out going, who is that guy? I've known him for 30 plus years. Who is he? That's not reasonable, is it? As long as we're in good health. We're not just going to forget. Here is his overall concern. What happens as we walk through this life? We have busy lives. We become my crazy life. Look at all that's going on in my life. I'm too busy for this. I'm too busy for this. I got this going on, that going on, this going on. We can get so caught up in the troubles and trials of life, the stresses and the anxieties of life, the values and the pursuits of this world can become so convoluted, the sorrows and even the sins. And I would gather to say that it's the sins that come out of that that so invade the memory. That take away from what Jesus has done for us and the examples he has set before us. They can be so pushed back in our life, back to the back burner of our minds. Oh, we haven't forgot you by name. We haven't forgot what you've actually done. But there's something about us that has forgotten you. Jesus says, I want you to come apart from the world, your pursuits, your troubles and your trials, your tribulations, and I want you to remember me and the blessed salvation that you have through me by what I have done for you. And it should compel something in us. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We know the song. Right? You don't want me to sing. But I got to turn my eyes to Jesus Christ. When we turn our eyes on Jesus at the communion service, something happens. We remember his love for us. The love of the Father and the love of Jesus. We sang about this morning. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly, for one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man somebody would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. What greater demonstration of love could there ever be? How can we forget this in our daily life? How can this not transform everything about us? And because of this love, what Jesus has done for us on that cross, when you accepted him, do you remember, as your Lord, as your Savior, as the Savior you would follow, who came into your life and forgave you and redeemed you and purchased you? Therefore, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in who? Our Lord. Don't forget that part. Love. Nothing will separate you. This is represented in all three aspects of the communion service, especially the love feast to come one day. Andrew Lloyd Webber sang a song, a secular song entitled, Love Changes Everything. In the secular world, it can change it for the good or bad. But he says, love changes everything, how you live and how you die. Nothing will ever be the same again. Love changes everything. Of course, that was a secular song, but we do know that is true when we realize, experience, and accept the love of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? His love does change everything. How many of you know that Jesus Christ will never change? The Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and the same today and the same forever. His love for us will never change. It changes us. It changes you. It changes me. But He will never change. He will love you. He has loved you, will love you, and continue to love you. Praise God. And nothing should be the same again when we are drawn into the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. But as we get caught up in our struggles, how many of you know that can become blurry? As we get caught up in our trials and our failures, when at times we feel we live lives where there's lovelessness, we can begin to forget just how much we are truly loved by Jesus. But it's at this time at the communion service, we are visibly reminded again of His suffering, of His perfect love, and how much we should love Him in return. We love, why? Because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19. And therefore, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Isn't this what we're seeing in the Blessed Life series? Thank God He saved us. Thank God He transformed us. Thank God He's continuing to work in our lives that we are able to experience the love from God and love Him in return and love each other. That is what we're doing today. We're loving Jesus Christ and loving one another because we are covered by Him and His blood. Today, it's as if we are at a love banquet. And I think they decorated it back there for Valentine's Day, I saw this morning. Very befitting. So at the communion service, we also remember what His love cost Him. I don't believe ever in our finite mind or ever we will truly dive to the depths of what it cost the Lord. He gave His body for us. He left His throne of glory to sacrifice Himself on Calvary for us. And we are told, have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. What? Who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You understand something? I'm not going to go into here. When He put even death on a cross, it was a terrible thing. A thing of great shame and humility. Even death on a cross. There is no sacrifice for Him that we could ever make that is too great when we remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us. We should then think nothing of giving to Him our very lives, all of our lives, sacrificing ourselves for Him, doing whatever He commands us to do, going wherever He calls us to go wherever He may lead, to do whatever He tells us to do, be whatever He wants us to be. Amen. So we're called to remember what his love cost him. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, Paul says, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Worship is not only in heart, it is an action as we go and serve Jesus Christ when we're willing to talk about him in public, when we're willing to talk about him to others, when we're willing to proclaim him wherever we go and follow him in heart and in our mind. Praise God. It is all too easy, though, to be caught up in this self-centered world that characterizes the world we live in today. At the communion service, we're reminded that it's not all about us, but it's all about Jesus. It's so easy to feel proud of what we have done, to feel proud of our accomplishments and our achievements in this world, and even boast a little. But the communion service reminds us, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. At the communion service, we are reminded that all we have and are has only come to us through grace and mercy, through the grace and mercy of our Lord, as we humbly bow before him, who in his sovereign love died for me. Have you ever stopped to just contemplate that? Almighty sovereign God, all omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God, who's perfect and holy. We heard in the song, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he loves me. He died for me. We must give him all of our hearts, all of our lives. So at the communion, we also remember how valuable souls are to him. Jesus said in Luke 15:10, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. All of heaven sings at the salvation of one soul. What's the profit of man to give up a soul to gain the whole world? Nothing in all of the world is worth a soul. We remember how valuable souls are to him. If Jesus so loved me that he would go to such lengths to save me, should we not follow his example and do all we can to reach others? Who are those others? They are people for whom Christ died. If they're a human being, Christ died for them. That's a rhetorical question where there's an obvious answer. And the answer is, yes, it would be worth it. Yes, I should. Yes, Lord, I should have that desire. The psalmist says, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the people. We are to tell others about what God has done, about this wonderful gift of salvation, about his marvelous works in our life, about what God has done for you in transforming you. I mean, has God done something good in your life? Are you forgiven? Have you been set free? Do you have a new life? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have freedom? Is that worth sharing? If your answer to those questions is yes, then we should all want to tell everyone. Think about it in our world. This is news. This is news. This is the gospel. This is the good news, the life-saving news, the greatest news ever told and ever to be told. And it's something to be shared. To be shared. God is alive and well. And he's working in people's lives. And he wants to work through you. He wants to work through me. And people need to hear the Lord. People need to hear of him. People are hungry for the truth. We live in this world where truth is so relative, but there is absolute truth in the world. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. Through His Word, the inherent Word of God. We are commanded to go in Matthew 28, 19. And we know this, right? We're commanded to go. But as we remember Him, it should be a natural command to follow as we remember Jesus, because then we are motivated by love. We're motivated by love. How many of you know Jesus was motivated by love? Jesus was compassionate. Jesus had compassion. Do you have compassion for those who have not heard about Jesus? Where is our compassion? In Matthew 9:36, it says, seeing the people, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited, like what? Sheep without a shepherd. And because He had compassion, He shared the good news with them. Sharing Jesus is simply to have His heart, to have His compassion. Is it any wonder He wants us to remember Him? Because when we don't remember Him, other things flow into our hearts, and our pursuits and desires go towards more worldly gain, more worldly things, and we lose the perspective of what Jesus has done for us, and our passion to share Him dims. But Jesus, then He said to His disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Isn't that statement sad? How many of you want to be one of His few workers? Let's do it. Let's compel ourselves in prayer to be used as for Jesus Christ, to be His vessels. Is it any wonder He said, remember me? Do you know the Apostle Paul was also motivated by love? Listen to his heart, his words. This is him talking about his fellow Jews who have not responded to Jesus. Romans 9, 1 through 3. I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. For the sake of my fellow Jews, if I could be accursed, I'd give up my salvation if you would only believe. Great sorrow is within me. Grief, he says, is in my heart because I want you to have what I have. I want you to know the one and only living, risen Savior. We must ask ourselves, do I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart for those who don't know my Lord? We then remember how valuable souls are to Him. Therefore, we must understand that we are not saved to be silent. Amen. And praise God, He gives you His authority to run your trap. I mean, go and share. You have His authority. You have His power. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Go flap those jaws. Go share Jesus Christ. You were not saved to be silent. Praise God. When we remember how valuable souls were to Him, we will share because we love, because we are concerned for others. And we want others to know the grace and the mercy of Almighty God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. We've heard just in the last week through Phil and others through Grace Outreach, people have come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Praise God. A few Sundays ago after church, Alice asked me to go with her to visit an old friend. She was burdened for him as he was at Methodist Hospital. After going down there and sharing the gospel with him, he raised his arms with tears streaming down his face, and he prayed to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he did something. Right then and there, the Holy Spirit came into his life, and he touched off an angelic celebration in heaven. Praise God. May we never, ever forget the heart of Christ and the worth of a single soul. So at the communion table also, we remember His love that daily forgives and cleanses us. I'm thankful for this one. I need that every day. Isn't it a blessing that when we stumble, that when we fail, that when we sin, our Savior is always there ready to forgive and cleanse us as we obey Him and follow Him? Praise God for that. There's a hymn called Cleanse Me. It's 317 in your book. It says, Lord, take my life and make it wholly Thine. Fill my poor heart with Thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self and pride. I now surrender, Lord, in me abide. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Jesus will do that each and every day in your life if you know Him as your Lord and Savior. He will cleanse you. He will free you of sin as you humbly come before Him in repentance. What a gift. What a precious gift. The foot washing is a picture of further cleansing and our Lord's continuing forgiveness and cleansing in our lives. David said over his sins in Psalm 32, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Selah. Think about that. I confessed, you forgave. Do you believe there's ever a sin you'll commit on this world that He will not forgive you for in true repentance? Praise God in this ongoing sanctifying work in your life. David went on to say, be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. God's graciousness, His loving kindness, His greatness, His compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgression and my sin is before you. You cannot hide your sin from God. It cannot be hidden. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Wow. Nope. I don't understand how He can love me with the things I say, with the things I've done, with the things I do. How can He love me? He's always there. He's always there, quick to hear my prayer of owning up, of taking ownership, of asking for forgiveness. And He restores me and He cleanses me. And He brings me in fellowship with Him to forgive me and to wash me clean. This is His present ministry in my life. It's His present ministry in your life. What a beautiful, beautiful ministry. Thank you, Jesus, that you didn't just save us and abandon us. Thank you that you walk with me, talk with me, show me, fellowship with me, cleanse me, forgive me, sanctify me. Praise God. We can and we ought to show it in our lives, but we can show it collectively in this special communion service given to us by our Lord. As we wind down here at the communion service, we remember that Jesus is coming back and one day we shall be with Him in glory. Why don't we just try to stand up and give the Lord a big round of applause. He's coming back and He's taking you home to glory. Get to your feet. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Come on. Come on. Don't sit down on the Lord. Give him a hand. He's going to rapture us one day. Thank you. All right. You can sit down. Thank you. I don't plan those things. But I know this. None of us will be sitting down when we meet him in glory with a glum face. We'll be in awe. It's beyond our imagination. What a hope. What a hope. And that hope is not a hope so, but it is a certain hope to know that one day all of our sorrows, all of our struggles, all of our defeats, all of our sins will be over and gone and done away with. And what we do at communion is we proclaim to one another the truths of his death for our salvation until he comes. That is ultimately the only thing that matters, is that you proclaim that through his death, that I have salvation and he's coming for me one day. And if I happen to die, I'll be with him absent from the body, present with the Lord. I'm going home. It's all too easy to be caught up in this world and the pursuits of the things of this world. It's all too easy to forget that we are just passing through. We're just passing by. We're not here to hang out. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, 29-31, that we should use this world, but don't make full use of it. Why? Because the world is passing away, he said. Jesus is coming back. Don't get too comfortable. This world is passing away. You're just a passer through. You're just a soldier. Where's your citizenship? In heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. Don't get too entrapped in love of this world. And as we close, we remember how blessed we are to be saved by Jesus. And how thankful we should be. Amen. A few Sundays ago, my dad was the greeter out there. You remember a few Sundays ago, it was 10 degrees out. Kyle and Jason Williams were walking in. My dad hurried to the door and opened it. And Dad heard Jason say something to Kyle. Jason was telling him how cold it was out there. And this was Kyle's response. Well, Jason, we could be in hell. That's a perspective that has a lot of truth in it. No matter what we are going through in this life, no matter what, our hearts should be filled with thanksgiving. Our lives should be filled with service and worship. And we should humbly bow before him and praise his holy name, that by God's grace and through the work of Jesus pictured in the communion service, we are not going to where we could and should go for our sins, but rather we are going to heaven, a place that he's gone to prepare for us, all because of his grace. Praise God. Amen. Because Jesus paid it all.
That's right.
He paid it all. There's nothing left more to pay. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. So Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. That is an imperative, a command given in love and blessing. And that is what we're going to do today. Praise God. This morning, let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let's turn our eyes upon him.